Simon Tov Kuf Tes, page 43. We're really up to Ois Ches, but I'm going to skip. Let's skip Ois Ches. Let's go to Ois Tes.
What's
an Ois Ches? Ois Ches is a summary. He follows through with what we learned yesterday about the knife, the sharpening the knife.
Yeah.
And the different rules, machlekes between.
Are you allowed to use electric sharpener?
Absolutely not.
No.
Absolutely not. Okay, it's a little bit complex, and it touches upon what we learned yesterday, and we're showing with the Rambam, and Yehuda, Rabbanan. So we already discussed most of this. So let's go to a new topic. Because some of the things we're going to read over here are not really Nogei Lacha L'maisa. However, the principles are timeless. So it's kedai to read through the halacha, even though we may not actually need to come onto the halacha. Shaila, I don't know if anyone does today. Your wives do this today. Is if they fill it, you fill up stuff. Chicken that has been stuffed with stuffing. And in order to keep the skin, the stuffing in the chicken, women would actually stitch, would sew
the. Used to be kishka.
Like helsel. It used to be helsel. Helsel was the neck, and they used to fill the neck.
And you stitch it. And you stitch it. So it seems that in time of Aruch HaShulchan, women did this. They fill up the birds with basar, ubeitzim, the nitzrach letoifran. Okay, after you finish, after you stuff the chicken with meat and with eggs, you would stitch the skin. You would stitch it to keep it close. Stitching is a melacha de oraisa. Are you allowed to stitch the skin of the chicken when you're finished stuffing it with meat and eggs? Because it's letzarich oichel nefesh. This is the way you prepare the dish. This is the typical preparation of the dish. So the nitzrach l'toyfram v'chein dakin memulin shenitzrachim l'tefira. They would take, the kishka. Right? The dakin is the intestines of the animal. It was a delicacy, and they would fill up these intestines with different food items, and then they would stitch them when they finished the process. Shenitzrachim l'tefira b'tzayfan. So along comes the shulchan aruch. It's called the shulchan aruch. Mutur l'toyfram b'yamtif. So get a load of this. Even though normally to stitch is an iser de oiraisa, when it comes to yomtiv, since letzarech oichel nefesh, it's mutter. You'll ask me the question, why not? Firstly, he says, na'am locha de oraisa. Number one is, this is not really called stitching for one basic reason. She'ein zet tfira hamiskayemes. First of all, when you ever stitch food, that's not called a tfira hamiskayemes. That's not a deraisa because the stitching is not going to last forever. Eventually, the animal is going to, it's going to decay.
It's temporary. You're going to eat it.
It's temporary. You're going to eat it. It's going to decay. It's not going to, even if you, unless you do nothing, you just see a stitch it. And you let the meat sit there. You let the meat sit there for a few days. It's going to decay. It's going to rot. And the stitches are going to come out. All things are going to come out.
So what if you use, stitches that dissolve?
That good.
Stitches that dissolve. So that's like what that's what they do. They do writing in the hospitals. Those who want to observe Shabbos. So it used to be is that they would have invisible ink. Same thing, right?
No, but the surgeons actually use that.
Then it dissolves after a period of time when it heals by itself. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the answer. I don't know. So here it says mutu l'tarvam b'yamdim. Number one, shein zet tiyah miskayemes. V'hechuch lechol v'hechuch l'oichel nefesh. And number two, besides the fact that it's not a tefira that is a deiraisa anyway, it's letzarech oichel nefesh. Anything that's letzarech oichel nefesh is mutter on yomtiv. You'll ask the question, but you could have done this yesterday. Avalis, no, you can't. You can't do it yesterday. It's not going to be fresh. You have to slaughter the bird today, prepare it today. It cannot be done yesterday, therefore it's mutter. Aval, what you are not allowed to do is to prepare the needle and thread. But to prepare the chut, the cord that you're going to use to stitch the intestine shut, that could have been prepared yesterday. So to make that today, that would be forbidden.
The osur is for the chicken. It's not necessary to stuff it.
That's the preparation. That's how you're going to eat it. You have to the way the dish is prepared is you cut open the skin, you insert this the eggs and the meat, and then you stitch it up. That can only be done on Yom Tov because it has to be fresh. But the cord, the thread, and the needle that you're going to use to prepare, if you don't have, you want to make it for the very first time, you're not allowed to because those are things which you could have prepared the erev Yom Tov. The Yasur l'chol hadeos. Okay, page 44. Therefore, gam lehachnisa lemachad. Another chiddush. What about threading the needle? Threading the needle also could have been done yesterday. Einoy nochoin biyom. Now, this is not mamish nisidereisa, he says, but it's not proper. Since this is something which is the tikkun monet, there's a preparation which could have been done. The yesh locha shema yachticha chut, because maybe the chut, if you thread the needle on yomtiv, maybe as you thread it, the chut will snap. And then, the also lachticha chut biyomtiv, you're not allowed to go and cut a new chut, lukoshoi b'seifoi, and to tie it. Like you do when you stitch things together. When you have a chut which snaps, so it's customary to take a new chut and to tie it to the old chut to extend it. And those are things which are, it's tying, those things which you definitely could have done yesterday. And therefore, in order that you do not get yourself involved in these shalos that should not come about, such a thing, where you're going to have this problem where the chut will snap in the middle, it is preferred to do this before Yom Tov. The yesh mishakasav the imlo hichnis achut be'er Yom Tov, the osur liachnisa the Yom Tov. Some say that he starts out by telling us that it's not nochon. It's not the right thing to do. You should lechatchila do it in advance. But it's mashma from the Aruch HaShulchan that b'diavad, if you did it on Yom Tov, it's okay. Then he quotes opinion that says that no, even to do it for the very first time, no matter what, it's categorically forbidden. And he says that's going too far. V'chumra yiserehi. It's an excessive chumra. Shaharei ein b'zeh shum iser. Threading the eye of a needle, there is no actual prohibition whatsoever. The only reason why he said above that it's not advisable to do this for the very first time on Yom Tov is because it may snap. And if it snaps, then you're going to want to tie a chut, the chut that snaps, you're going to want to extend it by tying an extension to the original chut. And tying an extension to the original chut is something which really should not be done on Yom Tov because that could have been done before Yom Tov. You don't know, but he's saying since there's a probability that it will, there's a possibility, therefore it's not ideal. The niral yanias died the mutter im lohichnis achut be'er yomtiv. So he goes on to hatna locha lemaisa that after the fact, if you did not thread the eye of the needle before yomtiv, you can do so on yomtiv. V'yizor shalol yachtich achut kanishar achar hatir. And in the event that it snaps, you should not cut. You should not cut the chut achar. I'm sorry. V'yizor shalol yachtich achut kanishar achar hatir. After you finish stitching the chicken, you have to let the leftover chut just hang loose. So normally if it was during the winter, you would make it nice and neat. So you would cut the excess. The excess, when you finish stitching, you cut off the extra amount of thread. You're not allowed to do that on Yom Tov. Because I guess cutting it is, it's ketzitza, it's malacha, that's not really serving any function.
It doesn't need to cut it.
Exactly, so that's why he says don't do it. V'chei nohagu, so then he goes and he says there's a solution. What? How do you get rid of the excess? Listroif hachut hanishar la'acha shatof rubo. The solution is to burn it. The extra chut that hangs out after you stitch the chicken shot, you take a mat, you take a fire, you take a candle, and you burn it off. Uviemes ein chilik ben chaticha listroifa. He says this is what people do, and in my understanding, it's not correct. The same way you're not supposed to cut it, the excess after you finish stitching it, it's not ideal for you to burn it either. Whatever you do, to cutting is really mutter. If you're going to say over here that it's going to interfere with eating, maybe it's sakana, you may come to eat it, it may interfere, then that's something which could not possibly have been done erev yavnim. So therefore, me'ikir hadin it would be mutter. Ela, so why then don't women do it? Shehanashim nohagu b'sreifa v'loy b'chaticha. I don't understand why. What's the difference? The same way they're sensitive to not cutting it because they want to be machmir, they don't want to cut it, so why then they should also be machmir and not burn it? V'ulai, perhaps, k'deh sheyesh shinui mibuchol, maybe the reason why is because they really don't want to be mekel. But they just want to do something unusual. A shinui. If it was the weekday, they would cut it. Now when they're burning it, so that's a shinui. This that we said, you're not allowed to cut the chut, that's only before you do the stitching. But after you do the stitching, so there's no way you could have cut the chut from before Yom Tov because you don't know how long the chut's going to be, and also you need an extra amount in order to do the proper stitching. Then it's mutter me'ikar hadina mutter lachtach biach b'yom tov eged gidim. Another halacha, you're allowed to cut another halacha. You're allowed to cut in Yom Tov and eged a group of gidim v'oifos mikulasim V'chutim tefurim shebim ha'cholim. If you have food, birds, or other types of foods that have been stitched together in packaging form, you're allowed to cut the chutim. V'chein yecholim lishroif pesilo it's sam simratut shekoshim boi shmata the shekoshim boi ha'if shezeu tzorech oichol nefesh mamish v'lo hoi evshol asoysa mikoidim rak b'shas ha'chilo b'shas ha'bishol ומהי טעם ומחה שנס אקמו that became crooked אין לפוישתו you may not straighten out ודינו כדין שפוד that we've explained שנס פער בסיף אק. I'm not familiar with these things over here, but I'm just thinking over here.
Yeah,
over here
is, you combine meat and netting.
The netting? So yeah, why can you cut it? Why couldn't you cut the knee before Yom Tov?
No, you cook it that way.
After you cook it? Oh, okay.
You,
okay, cook, okay,
you know
okay.
What it is? They have these long rolls of netting. And you make a shoulder roast, you're going to put it in the net.
Yeah. So you cook it in the net.
Right.
So
cook
since.
It in the net. Then you, after you cook it, you're taking off the net. Because I can't eat the net.
So these are things which are impossible to do before Yom Tov because you have to cook it in the net. So they're saying these things, it's mutal chatchil to cut these things on Yom Tov itself. Women, they have a minute when it comes to the extra chutney, they burn it. He doesn't really see a difference. You're allowed to cut it, there's no need to burn it. Maybe the reason why they're machmir is because they want to make a shinui. Okay, now we go to a new topic, a topic of a lot of kasher kalim on Yom Tov. You have, let's say you have a flesh to kapat, and I want to cook milchiks, it's shavuos. I want to make some cheesecake. I want to make salif. Are you allowed to go? Are you allowed to kasher a flesh of dikapat or things like that on Yom Tov? So Kos Rabbeinu Abay says v'sifei mutul labin b'Yom Tov klebar zel shafu by pal adin. Shel Givina. The Achar Haliban Yaifu by Pashtida Shel Basar. We have over here a utensil that was used for milchiks. I want to do Libun. Libun means you pass it over the fire. And by passing it over the fire, you kasher it. And then I want to use it to cook fleishiks. So he says you can do this. Now over here, you have to understand the Mitzias. I don't know. The basic over here is that when over here, this utensil is fleishiks. It's milchiks. I don't know. When this utensil is milchiks, it's not something that is actually used for milk. It's something which is used for a dish that has milk, which means it's not primarily used for milk. The nafkamina is, we'll see in a moment. Do you need to do what's called libun kal or libun gomor? There are two different types of libun. Libun means you apply fire to the metal to cause it to become very hot, and in that process, it's cleansed from any absorption of milchiks or fleishiks, and now you can use it for whatever you want. Some utensils only require a libun kal. You just put it on fire, you put over a fire for 10 seconds, and you're done. Other utensils require what's called libun gomor. You have to keep it over the fire until sparks come out.
That's if it's
boleh. So the question is, when you use this utensil, did you use this utensil being used to actually cook cheese, milk, or this utensil is used for a dish that happens that you don't actually use it to cook the what? Like a plate, a metal utensil.
A serving
utensil. I use this as a metal serving utensil, but it's not the actual utensil that goes on the fire. A serving utensil does not need libun gomor. It only needs libun kal. You can put it over the fire for 2 minutes and you're done. So here it says when it comes to utensil, the basic utensil being over here in this simon is to do on Yom Tov libun kal is mutter. But libun gomor is also. So to kasher a pot basically is also. He's going to get to Hagala. We'll get to Hagala in a moment. That might be different. But when it comes to kashering a pot that you're going to need to use Libun Gomer is forbidden. When it comes to kashering a utensil you only need to do Libun Kal, that is mutter. So let's start again. Kasav Rabbeinu Habeis Yosef B'Sifei Mutu L'Labin B'Yamtet Kli Barzel She'ofu Bone which you have baked Paladin Shel Givina. Now we'll see with the achar halibun. After you do the libun, yoifu boi pashti, that you're going to cook a dish shel basar. Vuhu, what does this mean exactly? Kish 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 yisladein after you do libun, yitnu also al hamachol miyad. You're going to put the dish, the pot, on the food right away. Aval imahu balua minavela uchayotze ba also labnoi. Then you're not allowed to do libun. Afilu laafos badavar heter at kan lishon. Now he explains. V'atam mishum. The Belias Heter died Belibun Kal. Okay, I made a mistake. I made a mistake. When you're dealing with non-kosher, when you are you kashering something that's non-kosher, then you need Libun Gomer. When you're kashering Heter, Milchix to Fleishix, Fleishix to Milchix, Milchix is Mutter, Fleishix is also Mutter. It's just you want to go from one to the other. You do not need to do Libun Gomer. When you go from Milchix to Fleishix, it's enough to do Libun Kal. You don't need sparks to come out of the pot. When you're going from non-kosher to kosher, then you need to do a more thorough type of limb called libun gomor. So v'atamishum, the belias heter, when it comes to a utensil that is absorbed heter, die belibun kal. Now what is belibun kal? The metal should get hot enough that if I would now put a piece of straw on the utensil, it would go up in a puff of smoke. Libun kal shekash nisraf olav mibuchutz k'mashakosav lel simin tuf nun aleph uviyordeh simin kof aleph. The einoi nikur she'oisel le'achshira, when you do libun kal, it's not nikur or yomtiv exactly what you're doing, because v'havikamida lebishul. It looks like you're putting a pot on the range, you're just putting it over fire. Ulchen, therefore, hatzorich tekef, hitzrich tekef, achar halibun lidnu al hamachol. That is why we require that immediately after you take your milchik dikka utensil and you do libun kal, you immediately use it for fleishiks. Ki hechi de lischazei she'osit, therefore there should not be any marasayin. It should appear that you're using it immediately for cooking, and that's what you're allowed to do on yomtif. Rak be'esik bishul, only for bishul. Aval habalua minavela. If you have a pot that's not kosher because it has absorbed the flavor of non-kosher meat, then the halacha we demand sarach libun chazak. Kidei shetehei nitzaitzais nitazim imenu. You need sparks to be flying. Kamashakasav sham v'nikul lakol. When a person takes out the blowtorch and starts doing libun gomor and starts having sparks flying, and everyone is watching, what in the world is going on over here? Nikola kol shein zel l'shein bishul. The reason why you're putting it over the fire is not because you're heating up the pot. The reason why you're putting it over the fire is because you want to go kashul utensil el l'shein akhechsher, and therefore that is something which you could have done yesterday. Since you could have kashul your pots yesterday, there is no heter whatsoever to kashul your pots today. V'yo nir lid tam d'kshehi shel heter. Another reason why, muteres betilto, there's no muksa. If you have a milchadika pot, you're allowed to move it on yomtif for milchiks. Now you want to go make use of a fleishik, so therefore you can go over the fire and you can kasher it. Uvichol regav reg yochel levashel baheter hakoidim. Ela sheritzonim b'machel acha, you want to go use fleishiks. V'lo yigarach libun min nikiyin ba'alma. Libun is no worse than washing it in the sink. Just like if you have a utensil, you have to wash it in the sink to make it clean, so you can do libun. She writes a linakos akli. No, it's not. It's not significant. He's saying it's not. He's saying going from milchix to fleishix is exactly the point the Aruch HaShulchan is making. It's not a significant difference. It's mutter, milchix is mutter, fleishix is aser. Relative to each other, it's just like it's dirty. Just like if you want to go cook something, before you go in to cook, you're going to rinse out the pot, rinse out the cup, you want it to be clean. So when you're dealing with fleishix, if this pot is milchix, so it's basically just dirty. So the way I get rid of the dirt is I wash it. I'm allowed to wash a pot in the water to clean out the pot. So too, I'm allowed to go take the pot, put it over a hot fire, in order just to heat it up. It should be a libun kal, in order to clean the dirt. Because the pot is mutter before, the pot is also after, there's no din muk, so it's just considered in the halach to be dirt. But, mash enken kishakli treifa, if the utensil has absorbed non-kosher meat, af she'efsho she'muteris betiltol du'uyihi l'shumbo dover tzoynein, maybe you'll tell me it's not mamish muksa, because a kli that's treif, you can use for many things. You can use to even to put meat, even cold meat, cold meat, you can store there in the meantime. Mikol mokoim kishem ischamemes kitzas, when you begin to heat up a non-kosher pot a little bit, it becomes so hot you can't touch it. That moment then becomes muksa. It's an amazing thing that the muksa is going to happen in the middle. Isn't that an amazing oneness? When it comes to a milchadika pot, it's kula heter. It's heter. I'm allowed to use the pot for milchus. I can use the parf. Now I want to kasher it. I'm going to make it very, very hot. So the moment it gets very, very hot, really at that moment in time already, it's already functional. I can make it for fleshings. But if I have a pot that's treif, so it's not muksa, because a pot that's treif I can use for permissible purposes. But when I take the pot, I put the pot on the fire, and I heat the pot up to a certain temperature where it gets very, very hot, at that moment in time, it's not yet libun chazak, it's not yet libun gamor, but it's not, it's already, it's a point in time where it's too hot for me to touch. So that point in time becomes muksa. Because at that point in time, I can't use it for anything. I can't go cook, put in a kosher meat, and I can't use it for any other purpose at that moment in time. And therefore, it becomes muks in the middle. Anyway, luklumuch, and therefore, it's going to be also gam bo halibun. Okay, that's an amazing chiddush. So we take away from this a murdik yisur. We take away yisur. If you have over here a pot on yomtiv, you want to go kasher a pot on yomtiv to do libun kal. So the answer is, if the libun is going to be milchiks to fleishiks, libun kal, it is mutter. If you have a treif a pot, you want to go make it kosher, it is osur to do on yomtiv. Now, that's not so common among us, because most of us are not professionals in doing libun. Right? How many people here do libun on Pesach? Anyone do libun on Pesach? Is there even one person in this room that does libun on Pesach? Probably nobody.
Barpach.
In honor and preparation for Pesach. Usually the rule of thumb is anything that you need to do libun kal, just buy another one for Pesach. Right? That's probably most people over here do not ever do libun. What about Haggalah?
Oh, you do all the others, you do libun.
No, you don't. I mean, well, you kasher your self-cleaning cycle.
You're right, that's not
a self-cleaning cycle. That's you try. You're right. A self-cleaning cycle is libun kal. It's libun kal. It's not sparks not flying. Sorry.
It's
higher than
now,
sparks flying.
Sure, it's
1,000
degrees.
Ovens are not 1,000 degrees. Goes up to 1,000 degrees. It's yeah. Okay, maybe you're right. Okay, but the ovens are very problematic. We all know ovens, the self-cleaning ovens, many of them are problematic. The doors do not get clean. They do not, that's a fact.
The doors do get clean, it's the
But the truth is, the ovens are not really...
The thing that seals it.
There's no chametz in the ovens. The truth is, the ovens today are not really... problems. As long as the oven is clean, there are vents, the ovens are vented, you're not putting food on the metal itself, you're putting food in the oven itself. The Zeya's lav milsa, as long as there's no mamoshes in the oven, technically speaking, when it comes to Pesach, technically speaking, you don't even need a kasher in the oven. Our ovens, bizman has that. As long as the surface of the oven is clean, the walls are clean, you don't really need to do anything.
I disagree with you.
Why?
If you take a Q-tip and move it into the vent, you come out with a real
so what?
Greasy...
That grease is Zeya. You
know,
the most you're going to get is Zeya. Zeya la milsa. It's not even... You're eating it? Is it going into your food?
No. Sure, when you have an oven hood, it's
yeah.
Your gas right.
Yeah.
What do you do for Pesach? You cover it?
You don't. You got a problem.
You cover it all the time with a little.
Because we're machmir. We're very machmir. We're extremely machmir.
Look under your hood sometimes.
Filthy. I don't have a hood, but still, I know it's still right. So technically speaking, it's fine. Technically speaking, what's the problem?
Pieces can fall down.
So clean it.
But if there's grease, you can't.
No. So if you can't clean the grease, and the grease is not falling into your food. It's not falling into your food. The most is Zeya. Zeya lav milsa. It's not even a mashu. Chometz also be mashu, but Zeya is not even a mashu. It's not even a mashu. Ain't a chanami. Today it's unheard of. You would be banned if you were a kash organization if you do this. Okay, obviously we're very machmir today.
I thought we don't do that anymore.
Sure you do.
Many shittas. Men in an oven? Many.
No, not an oven, but let's say utensils.
Utensils?
Like pots.
So the Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to go from milchus to fleishiks unless you can do it permanently. Unless it's going to be a permanent change. Just to go back and forth, milchus to fleishiks, you're not allowed to go do unless you want to change over permanently, then you can do it. So here, obviously, we're going in this case, when the person has nothing else, he's going to permanently change, or it's a shas atchak. Then you're allowed to go milchus to fleishiks. Okay, but look, our oven said, it's a very big debate among the Paiskim is man, as if you want to go use your conventional oven for milchiks and fleishiks. Okay, you use it, let's say, for fleishiks for Shabbos. I want to go heat up a pizza. I want to go take a frozen pizza and put it in the oven. Are you allowed to go do that? So you'll be shocked to know that there are many Paiskim that say you can do it. They say as long as the oven is kosher, as long as the oven is perfectly clean, it's perfectly clean. You can do it. You want to be machmir? One of them, the primary, you don't have to cover. The secondary, just make sure it's fully covered. So if you want to go pizza, put it like in a pan. You know, you put like one of those, and put some aluminum foil on top of the pan, and you're fine. You're fine as long as nothing is leaking out. And you want to, you can have a little opening, a little thing, a little steam come out. It's perfectly fine. Many paiskim, believe it or not, not many. There are paiskim, believe it or not, that say you can do that. And then there are those who say that the very least is, if you want to use it, do a self-cleaning cycle. That for sure can be good. If you want to go between milk, because they love little kids, and you want to go every, you know, during the Shabbos, you're going to use it for fleishiks, and during the week, it's primarily milchiks. Children, they have pizza, and they have this, and they have that. Any fleishik you do on top. So then you can do a self-cleaning cycle, and then you can use the oven. What?
Self-cleaning, what's the temperature?
I think it's goes to 1,000.
Really?
Yeah.
Regular oven?
Yeah.
Self-cleaning oven.
All right, it's not a good. Okay, so our conventional ovens today are very different in halacha because there's a vent and because we do not. It's an open area. Time of Chazal, the ovens were very confined. They were confined areas.
Metal.
What?
They weren't metal.
They were not metal. They were much dirtier. They were much dirtier, and they were confined, and there were many more issues. The ovens today, they're much. The area is wide open. There's a vent. And if you, they're generally clean, depending, I mean, it depends, it can be clean, so there are less issues. Any event, we have here Yesoid, a chilek between Libun Kal and Libuk Chazak. The lum this is, Libun Kal, you generally only need dealing with things which are heter. Milchix to Fleishix only requires Libun Kal. Because Milchix is mutter, Fleishix is mutter. Nevela is a dover osser. You need Libun Chazak. Libun Chazak requires nitzaitzai, sparks flying. When sparks are flying, everyone, that is something which is not, it appears that it's clearly you're doing something, you're doing a malacha on Yom Tov, and there's an issue of muksa, when the oven gets heated up, and you're doing something which is much more significant, and therefore, and it could be done before Yom Tov, that may not be done on Yom Tov, it must be done before Yom Tov. Now we discuss Hagala. Also, the hagel kli b'yani of a utensil which the way you use it is hot water. You're going to purge it with pouring boiling hot water upon it. It is also the hagel kli b'yamdev shi treif. If you have a utensil that is treif, non kosher, and it's only been used by holding non kosher liquid. And the way you're going to kash it is by pouring upon it in the hot boiling water. You may not do so on Yom Tov. Kemosh also lelabein, like you also do libun. Ve'ri'isi misha kosav de'im yochol l'shtamish behamayim shel hagala le'ezet tashmish kagoyin shemagil al-yidei iwi o'yishayesh behamayim shishim neged ho'iser demutur lahagal. I saw over here a chiddush, he says, that if technically speaking the water that is being used for hagala is theoretically permissible for use after the boiling hot water is poured on the utensil, then you can do Hagala. It's a legal loophole. Because what am I doing? I'm just pouring water into a utensil. And that water I'm going to drink. And that water I'm going to use. Now, will you actually use it? Not necessarily. But since theoretically the water can be used, I'm just pouring water into a utensil. There's a secondary benefit that the utensil now becomes kosher because I poured boiling hot water. Okay, that's not my primary kavana. I'm just pouring a cup of water into it because I want to drink a cup of water. So I'm going to pour a cup of water. Boiling hot water will cool down. I'm going to use it. When does boiling hot water, hagala water, is it butter? Only when the boiling hot water is 60 times more than the volume of the cup. Okay, because we assume the entire walls of the utensil are absorbed with non-kosher absorptions. So if there's 60 times more liquid in this utensil than the thickness of the walls of the utensil, then the water is theoretically mutter. Or shemagil al yidei irui, or sheyesh b'mayim, so that if you're pouring the water, or sheyesh b'mayim shishim neged ha'isur, we'll assume this always going to be 60. The mutter lahagil, it's mutter. Usvara nechoy nehi, this is correct. V'cheinim akli ein abas yoyma, Hamayim utarim is another halacha that, let's say, the utensil is more than 20. It's been more than 24 hours since it was used last. So in that instance, min ikar hadin, you don't even need min ikar hadin to kash the utensil. It's tam lifkam. So now, when I'm doing hagol, it's only a chumra. It's only a chumra. Then the water that I pour into the utensil, may ikar hadin is mutter. The believe in agala, for isahum yishum the ein ze oichel nefesh. Ella machshir echel nefesh, V'imkein im nitrifu me'esmol v'adai osur. If it became treif yesterday, v'adai osur shohoye b'chalosei me'esmol achshira, you could have made a kosher yesterday. V'afilu nitrifu b'yamtif, I yesh lo k'der acheres gam kein osur, aval im ein lo k'der acheres, hareihu machshir echol nefesh, yev shalaseis amir yamtif. V'afil das haramam shenispar v'cho rak v'ein morin kain aval yochin ha'isal yatsa mutav kol shchein l'das ha'tor shenispar like explained in the previous yesterday. So the thing over here is that this halach is not to go kasher utensil only when you could have that you are not allowed to kasher your utensils is only when it became treif yesterday and you had the option of kashering it yesterday or it became treif today on yomtiv but you have in your possession other utensils. So then, may ikar hadin, you're not allowed to do hagola, because if you're doing hagola, it's clearly to be misaking the utensil. The proof that's clearly to be misaking the utensil is if there's no byproduct. If the liquid that you are going to pour on this utensil is going to go to waste, or it's not enough liquid, where it will be mutter, because the utensil is a small utensil, and all the liquid is not going to be less than more than 60 times the utensil, and all the liquid is aser, so the liquid is going to be li'isser. So what are you doing? You're doing something purely for the purpose of kashering a utensil. If you could have theoretically kashered this utensil erev yomtif, or even on yomtif itself if you have other utensils, so you're doing a mulacha that's not l'tzarech oichol nefesh, it's only machshir oichol nefesh, and it is aser. But indeed, if this became treif today, and you have nothing else to use but this, and you need this for food, a nechinami that falls in the category we learned yesterday, that machshirei oichol nefesh, she'i efshar, la'asoy samei esmol, is mutter. And even though we had a whole dilemma, that maybe it only applies to two different cases, the case of smearing the oven with cement, and fixing the shvud, the spit, and we had a discussion about the knife, maybe it does not apply to other examples. That was a debate between the Torah and all the different Rishonim, and we came to the maskana, halacha, the ein, moirin, kain. But if you know the halacha, indeed you would be allowed to kasher your utensils. Yudbeis. The cause of remaining Hamad said, hey, the mutal labin shvud, shetzoloin, baybasa, sheinim aluach. Another example of kashering, a spit. You have a spit and you want to go use you want to kasher the spit on yomtiv. The spit is treif. It has been used to hold meat that has not been salted. And if it's not been this bleas of dam. The gam in ein near bezet tikun kol kach kishehechsha machvas. When you like we learned in the previous example of kashering a frying pan, the nekeshem meikar hadin in tzach liban klal kichaboy loy kach polter. Here's the case: the guy have the spit. The spit was used to roast meat. Now roasting meat, you don't need to salt because that's halacha. When you roast meat, the roasting itself draws out the blood. Liver. Liver technically does not need salting. You buy liver, how do they make liver? They roast it. So do you have to salt it? No, technically speaking, because the fire, any meat that's been roasted, the fire itself acts as the best agent of drawing out the blood, the excess blood. Halacha l'maaseh, they do. They do, it says in Ma'at. Melicha Ma'at. Melicha Ma'at. I was in the OU many, many years ago, they didn't do melicha at all. They showed us the machines they used. They showed us the machines that they used to salt, to broil the liver, and they were bragging that these machines are the same exact machines that they have in McDonald's and Burger King to make cheeseburgers. It says, these are the machines. This is what they have when you go to Burger King. This is the machine they have in Burger King. We modified it. It's been slightly modified for our purposes, but these are the same machines we use to make cheeseburgers. It rolls on, and they put the meat and the cheese, and the fire comes on all sides, and it makes a cheeseburger. We've taken these machines, we've bought a lot of them, modified them, we use them, the livers come on the machines, and the fire comes on the liver, and it kashers the liver. And it was the person, what about melicha? Says Shulchan Aruch, tzarech melicha ma'at, a small amount of salt. So I don't remember what he said, he told me the answer, why they don't do it. But
is there a difference between the chazer and a real treif and unsalted meat?
Yes, of course.
I'm talking about the process of the kashering.
What do you mean the process of kashering?
What happens if you roasted a treif, a piece of meat? Forget about
a tray for a piece of meat on the spit. L'chorinat. Same thing. K'boil l'kach poltai. So if you have a spit, and on the spit you have
wood
the...
Wood is not boileia.
Now wood, metal. The same moment when it's absorbing, it's also expelling. So technically speaking, if you have a spit that's been used to roast meat, me'ikar hadin, it does not require kashering. It's only a churma midrabanan that we do require to kasher the spit. The same way the meat is kosher when you roast meat, so to the spit me'ikar hadin is midrabanan, you have to do so. So here he makes that point. He's had that point again before. Since me'ikar hadin, you don't need to kasher it. Now that we require you to kasher it, it's not so significant to hold you back from doing so on Yom Tov. It's not like you're really doing anything special on Yom Tov, because Nikra, then you don't need to kasher it. The book of the Kamash Gobi Yodea, Ulefi Zeh, I'm right in the middle, in the Ois Yud Beis, Ulefi Zeh, Afilu Hoya Yochol Asoysa Me'er of Yom Tov Mutter. Because since Me'ikar Hadin, you don't need to do so, it's not, you have not accomplished anything. You're not doing anything. If you're accomplishing something, until now it was Osir, now it's Mutter, you've done a Malacha, you've done Tikkun Mone, you have created something functional on Yom Tov, so you've done a violation. And therefore, if this could not have been done before Yom Tov, it would be forbidden. But since in this instance you have not really accomplished anything, because this thing was Mutter before and it's Mutter now, and it's only a Chum Midrabanan, that's why we allow you to kasher the spit on Yom Tov itself. The A nu halacha. The A naikvim nekev chodesh b'chavis b'yomtiv. You're not allowed to perforate a pan on yomtiv. I guess you have to have, the pans have to have certain holes in order for them to function properly. You're not allowed to do it for the very first time. The im loy hoye ev shalasas mi'ev yomtiv mutter, you're allowed to do so. The A murin came. So like you mamish tikkun mone. I have a utensil, and it's not going to work until I make a hole in the utensil for it to drain, whatever the purpose is. So it's mamish tikkun mone. Are you allowed to make a utensil on Yom Tov? This goes back to what we learned yesterday. The Shulchan, the Gemara, and Shulchan Aruch only really give two examples, three examples. You want to go start extrapolating, giving other examples. That is a very, very big machlokes in the Rishonim. Halacha l'maisa, we have halacha, it's mutter, but the ein, meirin, kain. So therefore he says, if you know about halacha, in a chanami, we can be mekel, you can do it, l'tzorech echol nefesh, if you could not have done so yesterday. Next halacha. What about being toivel a utensil in the mikvah? This happens. This happens more often than you think. Or lahatvel kli chadash v'yom tov dinay kimay b'shabbos. It's like Shabbos. Basically, it's aser. Aser. And if you have no choice, there are some wild heterim. What are the wild heterim? Anyone know?
When you go to the mikvah, you take the pot with you.
You take the pot with you. That's one wild heter. What's the other heter? You mafker it. I'm afkir. I have a copper pot. It cost only $1,000, right? Copper pots, say, cost a hoin rav. I'm afkir it. Whoever wants it can have it. It's hefkir for the world. Go tell the mailman. And by the way, you know, we have over here in the house a copper pot. You want to take it? It's free. It's hefkir. In the meantime, I'm using it. But you know, you could have it. Tell that to the mailman to show you're really serious. See if we'll walk off with your copper pot on he might just do so. It's worth a lot of money. So if you mafker it, so then you do not need to do tzvila. Okay, these are wild heterim, but basically there's no difference between Yom Tov and Shabbos. The same way on Shabbos, Mikra, then you're not allowed to be toivel kelim chadoshim that were owned by non-Jews, that were purchased from non-Jews before Yom Tov. You're not allowed to do this on Shabbos. You're not allowed to do this on Yom Tov. This doesn't make a difference. There's no Eichel Nefesh that's going to make a difference. What about rinsing utensils and polishing utensils? All the laws of cleaning and polishing utensils are equal to the laws of Shabbos. Yud Gimel, Kosav Rambam, Perek Dalet. Din Yud Zayin, Kli Shenitma Mi'er V'yom. Now he is going into the laws that are not Nogei us, because we're not Nizah B'Zman Azev, Tumah V'Tahara. Yet the principles, just one halacha, and we'll stop, the principles are Nogei. Again, there's no B'Zman Azev, Tumah V'Tahara. So these are not Nogei. Ein Matbil Ma'asa B'yom Deb Gezer Shema Yishema Yishe Oysa B'Tumasai. If you have a utensil that's Tomei, came in kind of the sherets or a mace, you may not go and be mitard on Yom Tov, because if you could do so on Yom Tov, you'll delay. Friday or Yom Tov, Erev Yom Tov, I'm busy. I'll take it in the mikveh tomorrow. I'll be mitard tomorrow. Now, you understand, putting a mikvah, a utensil, a mikvah to be mitar from tumah v'tahara is much more lenient than hagola, than tefillah when you buy a utensil from a guy. When you buy a utensil from a guy, the utensil is off limits. I purchased a pot, brand new copper pot. I'm not allowed to use it. It's awesome. That's the halacha. A utensil that's tameh is permissible. There's nothing wrong with it. Happened to be that this utensil happened to be in the oil hames. Happened to be a nida touched it. Happened to be a sheretz died in the pot. You found the dead sheretz in the pot. Am I allowed to use the pot? Of course. I just have to know that it's tameh, and whatever I'm going to cook in the pot, it's going to be tameh. Now I want to be mahader. I want it to be tahar. You want to go up a notch. A tahara sakodesh. So that's insignificant. It's a very nice thing to do. It's an insignificant thing. So therefore, technically speaking, there is nothing holding you back from taking a pot that's tameh and being toivel in a mikvah. You're not really doing anything substantial to the pot. When the pot is purged from a goy, I can't use it. Now I put it in the mikvah, I can use it. That's a different world. Here I can use it for tumah, not for tahara, insignificant. So people, what they would do is, listen, today it's Erev Yom Tov, I'm busy, I have things to do. Tomorrow is a Yom Tov, there's no work, so tomorrow, before davening, I'll take all my pots, I'll go be tevel in the mikvah. Chazal did not like that attitude. You're going to be mezalzel in the kedusha of Yom Tov. They said, don't. You're not allowed to even go from tameh to tahar when you could have done so before Yom Tov.
If you find on Yom Tov, if you find a dead insect in your pot, then you can do
it. Insects are nothing. It has to be a sheretz. A shmoina shrotzim.
A mouse.
Not as a sheretz. Not a muchach. Very, very precise what the shrotzim are. We don't even know what they are. We don't even know what they are. Cholid v'achbar. What was an achbar?
Mouse.
It's not a mouse. No, it's not a mouse.
No,
it's something much more significant.
A weasel.
Something much bigger, much uglier, much more frightening than what we know of. It's not mastava. It's not mastava. We even know what they are. Okay, so therefore, let's go further. Let's say you need to be toivel the water, shabai. Let's say what I need over here is I need the food. The actual water has to be tahar. Why? Because you need water that's tahar to make a dish that's tahar. So that's permitted because that's the food. That's not the utensil. So once already you're going to be toivel the water in the mikvah, you can be toivel the water with the utensil. Today no one will do this because you're not going to go put chlorine into your food, right? You have
even
water.
If a coin was eating, there's no difference.
Even a Yisrael, anyone that wants. I think these are not a halachal ma'is. This whole thing is totally not a guy. We learned for the principles, the principle matter, the concepts. But they would be metahar water through hashaka. You have a pot of water, it's the water is tameh. So I take the whole pot, I dip the pot of water in the mikvah. So when the mikvah water touches the water in the pot, so the water in the pot becomes tar. Why bother? Why don't you just take a scoop out of the mikvah, take some mikvah water and use it for your food? Today no one would do this anyway because of all the chemicals and all the filth that's in the mikvah, so it's not really nogeh halacha l'maisa. The einachayit are going to a spring, but there's a trick. By being toivel the liquid, you can already put the liquid in a utensil that's tameh, and once I'm being toivel the liquid, I'm automatically being toivel the utensil.
You title liquid, the liquid becomes
yes,
what?
Yes, food. Yes, you can be matar food.
Maybe they are worried about the mikvah. You shouldn't take out the water from
there. You don't want the mikvah? Okay, I don't know. You have to know what the ancient mikvahs were like. Maybe it's a spring water, so therefore it's clean water. The tzarech l'tah ha'mai ma'atem ayda ha'shrak l'mi l'meinuk v'dezeo k'zriya sh'med medeles b'tumasa v'zeo v'adei mutar t'avi oichel nefesh ma'amish v'agav zeh matbul gam ha'kli kevan sh'nasu b'meloch ha'achas. So kunz. So the halacha, you are allowed to be metaher liquid, because the liquid is oichel nefesh. Once you're metaher the oichel, you can come onto this kunz of putting the oichel, the water into a utensil and dip the entire utensil. So now I have accomplished being metaher the utensil together with the liquid. Okay, we'll stop over here for the short break.